The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Bonus Show. We begin today's bonus show with a joke.
Yes.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
Thank you, Donald.
Well, that's a good setup.
We do. It's time for the joke.
Shut up!
Of the day, ladies and gentlemen. And we hope you like it, because some of these jokes are really...
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine.
Yes,
well, this
absolutely.
Is less than a joke than a lesson in history. Mm-hmm. Because Walter Cronkite, what was it? Mr. Believable is what Sinatra called him. America's uncle. And he was a wonderful and trustworthy newscaster. But when he was off set, I've heard reports this was a joke he liked to tell at, like, cocktail parties. And it doesn't really suit our regular show. So,
okay.
Two people are sitting in an old folks' home in their wheelchairs, a man and a woman. And they're right next to each other. And the man says to the lady, he says, "It's been so long since I've been intimate with a woman. I was wondering if I were to give you... $25. Would you let me touch it?" And she says, $25. Yeah, I guess so. And so he gives the money and he touches it. And he says, "Wow, that's great. Thank you so much." And he gives her the money. And she says, "Well, it was actually so intimate." He says, "Well, God, I had no idea you were a virgin." And she says, "Oh, well, for $25 more, I would have taken off my pantyhose."
Bada bing, bada boom.
Not my joke. Walter Cronkite's joke.
There you go.
There he is. You're America's favorite newsman.
Do you think it would have worked better if you say, did he say touch it or touch her?
I don't know how he told it. I just know the construction of the joke. And I wanted to keep it as family friendly as possible.
It's the bonus show. You could say touch her cooter.
I wouldn't have used that word.
Okay.
Yeah.
You wouldn't use the P word. That's politically incorrect now.
Is it?
Oh, yes, it is. Okay, well, come on. Get outside once in a while. You'll find these things out.
Well, yes. Give me more reason to find the word useful. The old man says, "I'd love to feel your vagina." And that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. Yes, sorry. I'll take off my patios. I'm Walter Cronkite, horn doggy Walter Cronkite.
Jingling
on a related
change.
Note, yes, my God. I wish I was a better joke teller. I really do, because I'm not. I'm a storyteller.
You're a great storyteller. And when you tell a great joke when you're into it.
And you know? Loaded.
Yeah, that's when you do it. I remember the first joke you told me when I was interning for you, and the punchline involved Cheetos. Do you remember it?
No.
Okay. A guy goes to a doctor, and he says, "I got problems." And the doctor says, "What's the matter?" He says, "My dick is orange." And he says, "Well, that's unusual. Let me see it." And he pulls it out, and he says, "Yeah, it's absolutely orange. Are you under a lot of stress? Is your marriage happy?" He says, "Actually, I'm not even married." He says, "Well, how's your financial situation? He says, "It's great." He said, do you work? He says, no, I actually just won the lottery. He says, well, how do you fill your day? He says, well, I just stay at home jerking off and eating Cheetos. I can picture it so clearly. It was right outside the air studio, and you pulled me aside, and you told me that joke.
So I have to say that Lewis Black is popping up on my feed a lot. We'll probably get copyright stuff, so I don't want to play it right now. But, you know, the audience members, I remember when I first saw Lewis Black down here, mm-hmm. and I was pissed off that he brought his iPad out and read comments from the audience. But now the audience is so tracking with it that they have good bits. And the Fuck Junior Mintz letter that he got from somebody.
Yeah.
Absolute beautiful, beautiful stuff. The other thing that's been popping up occasionally, I have no idea. Don't ask me
how
this could happen. But when you're talking about AI, there is AI
artificial
now.
Intelligence?
There are images that I think we're getting better at recognizing it. But what I'm not getting better at is the...
As you asked about the birds yesterday.
I know. That was very stupid. We played
pants.
A video of bird pants, and I'm like, is that real? I am a fucking moron. God. Honest to God.
How do they put them on the birds?
It was late in the show. I wasn't paying attention. But
we need you, Mike.
AI, how did I write this down? How to tell... when hot women are AI, because I think the effort that goes in to creating some of these women mm-hmm. is greater than any other effort that I've seen as far as making them real. I sent Josh what I believe to be an AI woman.
Okay.
And let's play a clip from it right here. Okay.
Wait a minute. Get it how you live it. 10 toes in. We'll be standing on business. Yeah. Beach step up.
Rob, what do you think?
I agree with you, and I have a reason why.
Why?
It's not so much the girl as the background.
Backdrop. Yeah, the backdrop,
it
right?
It is a little too idolized, a little too much sitcom-looking of a neighborhood. It looks too perfect.
Looking.
And then on the girl, the stomach is too...
defined?
Too thin.
That there's no movement even when she moves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Normally, if I need to know, I first thing I do too is the fingers, because they mess up fingers a lot.
Hands can actually be backwards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The way. Or, what else? Did I send you another one? Did I send you?
Yeah, you sent me a video from the Titanic.
Okay, let's. This is another AI thing. This is
about avoiding the Titanic.
Are you sure it's AI?
They say it's unsinkable. I just hope they don't charge extra for breathing air.
Excited about the voyage, sir?
Indeed. If the cigars stay dry and the brandy flows, I'll call it a successful journey.
How is the food on board?
I asked for quail's eggs and got two kinds. I didn't know there were two kinds.
Busy day today?
Two lifts jammed, one lady fainted from the breeze. Standard, really.
Lovely night, isn't it?
Not a ripple in sight. I'd say even the ocean's impressed with this ship.
What's it like working in the engine room?
F*** off!
What do you think that dark shape is ahead?
Whatever it is, it better not delay breakfast.
This is fascinating to me. I'm sorry, I just get fascinated.
Mr. Andrews, you designed this ship and everyone said it was unsinkable. Well, what do you say now?
She was unsinkable on paper. The ocean had other edits.
I'll tell you, Mike, what makes me the craziest about that is the microphone. That's a 1940s microphone, and it changes, but the primary mic is a 1940s mic when they spent so much attention to the other detail.
Right.
But again, you know what? The background is too perfect, and there's too much deep focus. You can see the entire scene all the way in because it's computer generated.
When I was looking at some of these images, and then I did a little deeper dive on it, and what I stumbled upon, I didn't send this to you, Josh, but it is create your AI girlfriend. And if you look that up, I didn't know what it would bring us, and I thought we'd explore it together because you know, I think the easy tells are the ridiculously almost cartoonish comic book ideal woman with the, you know, 15-inch waist and the perfect breasts and all that.
It looks a little
that,
like anime to me, like the way that they would draw a woman in anime, but they've made it look like a a living person, I guess. Well, now, I guess Mike, if we create go ahead, Josh.
I guess now they give you the option for anime or not.
Oh, that's a nice option.
Is this the website you were playing on?
No, because Mike, I mean, I didn't get that deep into it.
Your girlfriend's
style.
It was
create. It was not choose. It was create. And the one on the left, I'll be honest with you, that's why I brought the whole thing up, how to tell when hot women are AI. That one on the left, I would look at that and say that looks like a legitimate lingerie model right there, right?
Well,
would
you're
you
seeing
say
a
the
tiny,
same thing?
I just saw a tiny image. Could we see it again,
it's
Josh, a little
it's
bigger?
A time. Well, he's looking for some other stuff.
Okay. Okay. All right.
You know, the idea
Here's
of...
Here's your girl back.
Okay. I mean, that looks kind of real.
You guys just going to stare.
It's.
I guess if it was closer, we'd be able to...
Also, there's a mechanical
there you go.
Element to the way she moves.
Josh, you don't have to do it like you're our pimp with that. the movement is kind of...
Yeah.
Welcome to the House of Wax.
What it is, Mike, is they ask me if I still draw Mickey Mouse. I do not.
Not any longer. I'm Walt Disney.
This is a creepy website.
Okay.
I'm shocked.
Are you talking about the create?
Yeah. Create. So pick your features.
Did that say pubic hair? Yeah, it said pubic hair.
Yes, as they said, it's a checkbox.
Oh, that's but this will give us an idea of what we like here, and we can.
Right.
Oh, I pregnant. That's nasty,
Mike. Don't pregnant shame people.
What height would you like? Let's just go down the list.
5'7"
I agree with that. Mike. If we actually agree on all these things, can we share this AI girlfriend?
Absolutely.
Have an AI threesome? That. Yeah.
Now we need a body type.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to go with...
By the way, I want to know who defines that as chubby. Not chubby.
And muscular looks creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, too muscular.
It looks...
Skinny, I don't like chubby. I don't like curvy. I don't like... I don't like any of them.
I think we have to go with skinny. I think it looks the most human.
Well, then you got to pregnant.
No.
If you don't like any of them.
Oh, pubic hair is optional. Yes. Skinny, let's go with skinny. Rob's right. I agree with him on that one.
Yeah, thank you. And what about, where do you lay in on the hair?
Yeah, are we checking that box? The pubic hair.
Oh, sure. Put it in there.
And remember, Josh, check the hair box.
That is so nasty. This is so perv.
I told you this website is so creepy.
Okay. Medium.
All right.
Mike,
now you've got
tasteful.
A couple check boxes.
All right. Choose a
Do
butt
you want
size.
Saggy? Do you want brown?
You can choose both.
You can choose saggy, brown, or both.
I don't want either.
All right. Then we leave them unchecked.
Okay. Very good.
All right.
You're going to let the AI decide the sagginess of your breasts.
Now, what size? You can go. They've got
This is the ass, Mike.
For your butt.
Let's go. Rob, would small be okay for you?
Can we meet in the middle on medium?
Medium, sure.
Yeah,
medium.
Thank you.
With medium.
All right,
thank
let's
you.
Go with medium.
And no saggy breasts.
All right. Now you get to choose your
ethnicity.
Race, your ethnicity.
All right.
They all appear to be earthlings.
Let's let Rob do this one.
I would like an Asian girlfriend.
All right. What would you like her hair to be like?
Okay, long, curly, wavy, bangs.
No options for bald.
Ponytail, short, braided ponytail. This is really going to reveal too much about myself.
You keep saying it. I think you know already what you want to choose.
Hey, Rob, there's bald, Rob. There's bald.
Fantastic. I spoke too soon.
How about just long?
Okay. But not like Crystal Gale long, just long hair.
It make my brown eyes blue?
Now, I assume at some point it's going to ask us for money.
Yeah. Oh, really? Before we see the result?
I'm
motherfuckers.
We will try. What color would you like?
What color your hair? Yeah.
Keep going.
Dark green is an option. Multicolored. Pink, red, white.
Oh. Yeah, I can read them too, Rob.
I think I might have chosen white, I guess, because it flipped over.
All right, well, that's okay. Lipstick color. Oh, eye color.
Eye color.
It's green. Funny, you were just singing, Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue, and yet you choose green.
All right, and lipstick.
Are there more choices?
Black, blue, pink.
Where's red?
Purple, red. You want red?
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Oh, now an outfit. How would you like your lady to dress?
This is all you, Mike.
What's emo? Why is it emo?
That's like goth.
Yeah, like goth, like a hoodie.
I like elegant.
Of course you do.
What? Why the fuck is that? What's that comment mean?
No, it's just the way you said it. I like elegant.
No, let's go with revealing.
Okay, revealing.
Let's go all day.
All right.
All right.
If you're just joining us,
yeah,
Mike.
Josh is so right. They are going to hit us for money at a certain moment here. I'm just waiting. All right, so. All right,
we can auto-generate our outfit, casual outfit and accessories, unless you really want her to have a fedora.
No, I don't. I really don't. Mm-hmm,
no.
I don't. With that. All right, next.
We're creating our perfect AI girlfriend for those of you who are just joining us.
Look, we are getting rubed here because it's going. What's it say at the end there? Personality.
Yeah.
You can put in her job, her hobbies, her dreams. I'm just going to randomize this.
Okay, thank you.
Because
all the boys are getting excited.
Mike, you're getting a confident woman, I saw.
What would you like her first name to be?
Let's see. Thor. No, I'm not doing that. The first name should be... Cindy.
Can I choose the last name?
Yes.
Rosenberg.
There you go. With a U?
With an E. Hey, it's always an E.
God almighty, can you make him work any harder, for God's sake?
Mike, how old would you like this?
30. Why are you laughing?
What we're doing is funny to me right now.
But I know we're going to be disappointed.
I don't think so, Mike.
It's time for a voice.
Ivana.
Hello there. I'm Ivana.
Let's listen to
Ivana has a little
Hello,
bit of...
Hello, I'm Sydney. I hope you like tennis, sweat, and big boobs, my love.
Don't like that.
Marilyn.
Hey there. I'm Marilyn. I'm 48 from Kansas in the Midwest. And
wait, what was that? Why? That sounded almost like a different... What's Ella? Yeah.
Ella.
Hi, I am Ella. How are you?
No. Ivana.
I think it has to be Ivana, even though there's that vocal burn there.
And Marilyn sounded like too real.
Marilyn sounded like she was on NPR.
All right, we are going to generate.
Okay, let's see what happens.
Mike,
I still think it's going to pop up and want $50.
All right, let's see. Well, yeah, to keep it, but we'll see what happens here.
We'll see if it.
They're recapping all of our choices.
This is fun. Maybe we'll see the finished product here. Mm-hmm. This is exciting.
I can't wait to see Cindy Rosenberg.
This is not how I thought the bonus show would go.
I'm sorry.
And now it never is. My cash.
You never know where it's going to go. That's the nice thing about this show. Taking quite the long time to get this.
It's got a dresser.
And it also has to decide what color nipples, because you never specified.
We're going to get burned. We might still get burned. We might still get burned, where they say, in order to see that.
But it's all right, because if we don't show it, you put out all your characters in your perfect AI girlfriend, so other people can submit her.
There she is.
I'm disappointed. No, I don't care for it.
Did we specify that she would play an instrument? Because she's posing with a cello.
We did not.
I don't know. No,
and if to change her, skinny. We have to log in. You can start texting with her.
No, thank you. I'll pass on that one. Thank you.
Yeah, text her and say that Mike thinks you're too skinny.
You can see that.
You don't?
I can't tell what goes behind the cello.
Well, that's a cop out when you've got the goddamn the cello violin
covering the body. It's
covering the whole thing. Well,
yeah, see. And also
so much for
look
the reveal and outfit,
Mike. Yeah. Look at the hands. The lower hand is like fucking tangled in the strings.
That is a great observation with that.
There's just a head over on the side that looks like it's just ready to be attached to another AI girl.
It does. Yeah. Right. So
that might be
world.
Cindy Rosenberg's sister.
No, that is not Cindy. All right. I don't even know if I'm interested anymore in what to.
Did we cure
being
you?
Able to tell. No, I mean, what do you mean cure me?
Yeah,
what
of your fascination.
What does that mean?
No, you cure said me. you had a fascination.
I said no. I didn't say I was fascinated.
Okay, you had an interest.
I did not. I brought it to the show, how to tell when hot women are AI. That's all I said.
All
you, I know
feet.
You want to put me in a little box, but I'm not going to let you.
No, I will not. not ever put you in a box.
Can we take this in a less creepy angle?
100%.
How do we do that?
I thought the Titanic was less creepy.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
It was. Well, Rob has these food influencers that are making the rounds. And when that first came out, I thought it was AI.
Yeah, I did too, actually. All right. They were they go roundabout, and it's, I think this was in Houston. I might be wrong, but they do live food reviews. You know, they set up a camera, and they had just gotten to their salmon sliders, Mike. And please note, I know, note what they say when they in the video when they say boom.
Really nice. Good.
Oh, I agree with you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Fake.
This is.
That's so totally fake.
I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry.
Rob hit the wrong button. This video is where I took the setup of the food influencers and said, I can create that with AI.
Well, wait a minute. What happened? Rob hit the wrong button.
I did. Yeah. I have to apologize. Yes, but
this was the follow-up.
The set your base. Mike, I'm sorry. I saw food influencer. Apologize. This is the video we were discussing.
My boy. Boom.
These Houston food bloggers had just bitten into salmon sliders when all of a sudden...
Oh, wow.
An SUV slammed into the restaurant where they were filming, sending them flying.
The car just came out of nowhere. I mean, it was glass, metal. I thought we were going to die. I'm like, oh, my God, this is it. This is our last moment.
The bloggers, known as Nina Unrated and Patrick Blackwood, capturing every jaw-dropping second inside Cuvée's Culinary Creations on Saturday from the near-miss collision.
What just happened?
To paramedics arriving and their trip to the emergency room. Amazingly, walking away with minor cuts and bruises.
It's one of the wildest things that can actually really happen, like one in a million.
According to the Harris County Sheriff's Office, the driver said she thought her SUV was in park. When she let her foot off the brake, the car rolled into the restaurant.
No, it
she has not been
roll.
Charged.
It's
have you guys actually been able to
the
watch
restaurant.
The video through, or is it just replaying in your heads?
Both. Yeah, both. I've watched it. I don't understand how we're not... I'm sorry, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. I don't understand how we're
drama,
not dead.
Drama, drama.
This no.
thing she happened watched. For a reason, and I'm just glad to be alive.
Josh made
she
a big one.
Close call. Times knowing this was going to go
they
viral.
Won't soon forget.
It's what they want.
George Solis, NBC News.
Oh, this is just putting them
we
on the map.
We thank you for watching. Yes. And remember, stay up.
Do you think that the person...
Good job anchoring, Tom. Good choice, NBC. Sorry. I haven't talked about that either, right?
Do you think... that the driver of that SUV did it because they hate the podcast as much as I think I would hate the podcast.
I don't know. But really, the one thing they do say, I mean, the biggest lie in that whole thing is the driver saying she or the reporter saying they rolled in. What the fuck? You have two eyes. You can look at that and see what's going on.
Rob, Mike, she rolled in over the counter and over the
busted
the
through the entire table.
Let's look again at the speed.
I'm going to need you to come down here.
Boom. These Houston food bloggers had just bitten into salmon sliders when all of a sudden.
Not a rolling car.
Right. And the clip I saw was just them saying boom, and then the car runs through it, which made me think it was AI.
But they have more evidence.
Which is why I recreated it in AI to show you can make it with AI.
All right.
Can we show that again? I'm sorry I showed it earlier, but
yes.
Mike, this is what it could have looked like.
Really good.
Oh, I agree with you.
Can the AI be hits two people? Where
I'm
it really hits them?
I told it not to.
Okay.
When I made it. I said they get out of the way.
Hey, it's the bonus show. How
but
about
I will try.
How about this? Wait, this is me being I wasn't creepy enough in the first area.
Sure.
How about hits and decapitates?
Can we do both? Can we start with just hit and see how we like
it? Sure.
Okay.
What's wrong with me?
It's only an hour show. We really don't have time. But I don't know what's wrong with me. I was watching last night Abbott and Costello because I'm binging them. And there's a lot of slapstick and hitting and, you know, people hitting with clubs and stuff. And I thought, what if they did a slapstick comedy in the 1940s, like The Three Stooges, with Quentin Tarantino photorealistic violence? Like every time Curly got hit with like a board, his head would split open and it would bleed.
You have that?
I don't, but I was thinking it would be great.
Well, try it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just the thought
it's
I had.
It's kind of like talking about it doesn't do me any good, but seeing that, you know, how about the Three Stooges with Quentin Tarantino? Would that be, if you gave them that information, would we be able to get that?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Rob, could you try to pull that off over the weekend?
I can, absolutely.
Okay. All right, yeah. Very good. Rob, I'd like to see that.
You need to fly down to Florida.
Yes.
You and Mike go sit in a Waffle House, and I'll just slowly roll the car through.
Slowly. Slowly. Yeah.
That, yeah, you could actually...
I'll just lift my foot off the gas, and we'll get so many more bonus show members.
If you were really doing it, you just edit us together side by side, and we'd be like... what happened.
And if they're giving you trouble about killing the people, remember I couldn't get AI to put me in a casket dead, but I said I was asleep in the casket and they were okay with that.
Because AI has certain standards.
They have standards, yeah.
I would assume AI won't show people getting bloody, right? They wouldn't do that, would they?
I don't know.
Are you doing it as we speak? Are you
trying to do it as...
He's looking at it.
I'm looking,
at it right now to see.
Well, I mean, if you think that a body in a casket, that's verboten. Do you think blood would also be verboten?
I would think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This is the closest it would come to with hitting someone with a car.
Great. Okay.
It's sanitized.
Yeah. Yes.
We're not free.
No,
I hate
no.
to say that, but we're not free. We're really not free.
Are those
also
the
completely
same,
fell apart.
Are they the same influencers that is in the first AI video, too?
Well,
I think it is.
Well, let's see.
Okay, we got them there. And then in the other video, here it is.
Agree
sorry.
With you.
It is, and they changed her outfit.
Yeah. And he grew a beard.
But it's the same people.
So
there she is.
I'm glad we're on this subject because it's fascinating. They are not getting hurt at all.
No.
No.
All right. So here's the question I have. Is there a rule book with AI? Is there some arbiter that is making these calls as to what ChatGPT and some of the other services?
It's being written as we go. And it's really what websites don't want to get sued. And trying to protect themselves.
It varies from site to site, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, like I know there was news for a while that Grok you could get away with more on, but then they scaled that back. So
now why would they, if you're creating a fictitious image,
right?
Well, it's rife with possibilities of nastiness. I get that. Now it makes sense to me.
What if we replace those two influencers with two program directors you had? And you had them killed because it was satisfying.
So bodily functions like blood, throw up, that
poo.
Type of thing. How about, put this in, can you put food influencers choking on their sliders?
I will try that.
Let's see what happens with that.
Rob,
do you agree there is this AI that we're so excited about that can generate anything is being... run by legal departments.
Oh, know what? It was taken away from us before it was given to us, if that makes any sense.
I mean, but that's interesting.
The technology does exist.
Not that I want... I certainly don't mind the guardrails on it. I really don't when I really think about my kid being on there. But it just does make me think, who's making these decisions. And if people are afraid of being sued, it's legal departments that are making the decisions.
And the AI girlfriends is going to mess with people in real life. Because we've seen how porn affects kids growing up. Now when you add AI and that creepiness, it's no longer a fake girlfriend in Canada.
It is more of virtual reality distancing us from human connection, with everybody living in their cell phones and doing that. Now you're going to have people, they made a movie about it, You with Joaquin Phoenix was in that movie, but you're going to get this where, you've got everything but the real intimacy can be achieved with these AI people. The texting is just, if you're that lodged into a fantasy world, isn't that going to make you dysfunctional when it comes to interacting with real people in life?
It's next level. It's the next level of that. It's making people not have to need to interact for any need whatsoever.
And
get your food on Instacart. Get your intimacy from your computer.
Cheetos.
And you know it's going to blend with VR.
What's that, Josh?
It's going to end up blending with VR and the goggles.
Yeah. And by the way, did we get the influencers choking on their food? Okay.
Not yet. It's still working on it. It wrote me a storyline about it, but I guess I didn't check the video box.
they're good at that. I don't know. Strange. Yeah. The whole world is changing so rapidly right now.
I can't do VR, though. I don't. If I did, every time I made love, I would be nauseous.
I'm going to try to
find. As opposed to my life being nauseous.
I think Carla's got it. I don't know if she's in, with a client right now. She might not be. Let me try to.
She's with a virtual client.
Let me see if I can reach her on the phone and get her to send Josh my video when I was much bigger, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if she's here.
Oh, by the way, Mike, I saw pictures today from our first trip to Iowa. You and I have never looked better.
Hey, sweetheart, can you send Josh the video of me with the VR set when I had the problem?
Oh, yeah.
Can you send that to Josh? Because we're talking about AI and virtual reality at the same time. If you could send that video to Josh, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thanks, sweetheart. Love you.
You're welcome. Love you, babe.
Bye. Yeah, that is just... that.
No greeting for Josh or me. That's
sorry
nice.
About that. I just wanted to take care of a bit. Did you want an I love you from Mrs. O'Meara? Is that what you were looking
just
for?
Just a little recognition. It doesn't need to be love. Just needs to be aware.
This all started with me talking about the hot women on AI.
And that was really Carla on the phone, not a virtual Carla?
I find something inherently dishonest and disturbing about all things AI.
Let's jump back.
I don't think I'm alone either.
500 or 600 years when they started to do realistic paintings of nudes, the great artists did.
Right.
Do you think they felt that was being cheated because it wasn't a real woman, but it was a thing of beauty?
It's an interesting concept.
You mean like a photograph? Except when it was a drawing?
You know, I'm talking about 600 years ago, Josh, like the Renaissance, when there was no photography.
But there's an original person they're painting, right?
Right, yeah. But, I mean, these people in AI are based in real people. Their features
are
real people.
Don't you think, is there a possibility, since we're all over the place here, but we're just exploring, I have to ask this question. Do you think, Rob, that the abundance of nudity in artwork was a result of people's curiosity, because people were fully clothed? And if you go back and look at, all of the statuary and all of the some of the paintings and all that, do you think that was probably the only place people could find that stuff? And I would imagine
they didn't have VCRs.
you would see people. Did you freeze, Rob Spiewak?
No, I think I'm still here. Am I not?
Your picture. There you are. You're back.
Okay.
Yeah, so
it's screwed with people. That, you know, that when D.C. built Union Station, I think Italy, as a gift, sent statues to put upon the front of Union Station. They're like soldiers, and they were naked, and we did not accept them. This is like in the 1890s, I guess. So Italy sent shields to put in front of their penis so we could put them up there. So, I mean, it's not a modern thing that art could be a little bit triggering to people with the nudity. But I imagine
that's why my show for ABC got rejected when I sent them the pilot for Nude Gladiator.
I loved that show.
That didn't work. Did Carla get you that video yet, Josh Soroka? We're making him work his butt off. Come on, Carla.
In the Mel Brooks movie, History of the World, he says, let's look at a few nude paintings. Get in the mood. And I have to think that's part of it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I get it.
Maybe that's why we're so screwed up.
I don't know. It's a strange, strange world. So the AI that we wanted to generate here was choking.
All right. Here is the choking AI.
Okay.
This is me, fat man, boxing.
With VR. Yeah.
I'm boxing. I'm boxing. I'm holding my hands up.
Mm-hmm.
You'll like this, Rob. This has a payoff.
Okay.
Man, I have lost weight, Josh.
You have, I told you.
Music in the back.
It's beautiful. Okay, you're getting ready to box, I guess.
Getting ready to box.
Okay. Your punch.
Here we go. Told you how to. Told you how to pay off. You want to take another peek at it?
I wasn't expecting a payoff of that magnitude. That was fantastic.
Yeah, this is. I don't know if we're going all the way back to the beginning. There
I always pick. When I first saw that, I imagined you doing that activity maybe 2 or 3 hours a day, but no VR. No. Just pretending to box.
My God, that's a while back, too. That is a couple of years back. Man, oh, man.
Definitely a heavyweight bout.
It was. God, I look at that now because it's been over a year. It's just strange. It really is strange.
I do invite
you
to look back.
Thank you, modern medicine. I appreciate that.
I invite you to look back on our photos from the first trip to Iowa. Yeah. And we were fat. Oh my God, both
so
of us.
So fat. And basically eating our way across the country in the RV. It was amazing. Josh, what do you have for us right now? I know you were working on something.
Yeah, I've got, here's the choking at a restaurant.
Oh, great. Okay. Great.
That is so with all of its with all the technology, that is so unrewarding. That is so completely unrewarding.
Unrewarding.
How about if one of us started choking?
Oh my God, let's go. I'm ready.
We're supposed to get together this week. Let me tell you my theory. I have a theory about that too. Are you all right? You okay, buddy? Stand up. Give yourself the Heimlich.
That's it.
This is why they've got limits on AI.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know Josh had an in-studio producer to help him in case he choked.
Right.
You know, what's funny about the world, have we exhausted this subject? Can we move on now?
I think so.
Because I have wanted to talk about this for a very, very long time. Yesterday, we had a moment where Josh and I get pretty ramped up when we're having our political discussions and our baseball discussions. And, Rob is the comic relief during those moments because, A, he's a very funny gentleman, and B, he truly, when it comes to sports, does not have a dog in that fight.
You're right.
And when it comes to politics, he is not nearly as concerned as the average Joe out there. He doesn't get that passionate about it. So
I know what I like,
think at one particular moment, I said, well, what interests you? What gets you going? What is something I have when it comes to my diversions in life? Politics, I get stupidly passionate about it. Sports, I get stupidly passionate about it. When it comes to golf, that's the hobby I play, and I love it, but I don't really, I don't obsess over it on the show. Spectator sports and politics, I do. So when it comes to things besides the nostalgia and videos and movies,
sure.
Is there anything that you legitimately get really ramped up about? When I said that, I was busting your balls a little bit, but I was also curious about that.
When you say diversion, that puts a different spin on it.
Whatever way you want to go, I don't care.
I think my main passion is basically, if you had to simplify to one word, funny. I like to laugh. I love to make other people laugh. That's why I kind of chose what I do for a living. I like try to understand what's funny. Sometimes I succeed, often I don't. But like, I can watch an old movie or a current movie. For example, the new Naked Gun movie, the one with Liam Neeson.
Yeah, the good one.
About halfway through it, I started analyzing in my head, and Josh will let it slide. I started analyzing it about halfway through. Why isn't it working? And, I don't want to sound like the serious business of comedy, but that really does interest me. What makes people laugh? Why is stuff funny? And if I take it further back from that, being a student of comedy from way, way back, it helps because you see the relationships. And I can really sit down and really watch something and get a lot out of it that way by trying to draw connections between certain acts, certain people, certain jokes. My favorite diversion is music. I'm way, way into music.
Do you listen to music every day?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't. So
I usually have like a queue of LPs that I think of that, like when I'm making dinner, I'll throw on a record.
You know, it's interesting, Rob, and I'm not going to make this about me, but I will tell you the reason I asked that question is because I would probably blow you away with how little music I now listen to.
It's bad for you. It's bad to not listen to music. You really? Need it. I think it helps you. I think it sparks different synapses in your brain that you don't visit if you're not listening to music. And it does make you happy. Is it serotonin that makes you happy? Is that the hormone inside you? Is it serotonin?
Estrogen.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. But right. Music but causes a serotonin release.
We had the same discussion this weekend because I went to a concert for the first time in probably a decade.
I saw that,
We talked about how I used to listen to music nonstop. And
what did you go see? Remember,
a Christian punk band.
Full of Christian punk?
I love God, I love God,
basically.
God.
Yeah.
Were they good?
Yeah, they were good. I went and saw a band called Goaty Hook.
How old are they now?
Oh, they were in their 50s.
It's always good to see a 50-year-old punk
show. It was always fun to look around, and everyone there was my age.
That is awesome.
So that was fun to see. Mm-hmm. Their connection is they came out of the McLean Bible Church, which used to have the old ads on WJFK.
Yeah.
They were the Not a Sermon, Just
Lon
a Thought
Solomon.
Guys. Yes.
That was way deep in my head. So did you feel better after you listened to the music, after you saw it? Does it make you feel?
It made us say, hey, we got to go to more concerts.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I messed up. I apologize.
It sounds like hold music.
It does.
Or like the StreamYard is working music.
When's the last time? No, that's a different song. Mike, when is the last time you went to a live concert? A musical one. I know you've done some comedy shows.
Not for your kid.
Yeah. Not like the Wiggles.
Well, I meant not a school concert.
Probably Rush when I was on the edge.
Wow.
Because I had to.
I choose my concerts a little more specifically now, but the last one I guess I went to was ELO, and I came out of that concert. It was such a good concert. It was such good music. I felt about 10 feet high. It's the best for me to listen to music. Also, this week, I'm very passionate about my family, and if I can get together with family and my extended family, we had on Monday a party of 22 just of cousins that we met for lunch, and it was so much fun. Because we've shared so much over the past 50 years, and yet family is a big deal to me. But what's weird... Go ahead, Josh.
Well, I'm wondering, are you passionate enough about something to argue about it? Like, Mike and I can argue sports or argue politics.
I would argue music, yeah. I would argue comedy.
So better shows, better...
Yeah, yeah. But as far as passion goes, I have a lot of interest. I love my junk. I love the stuff that Mike accuses me of being a hoarder about. I will occasionally pop into eBay and just do a couple searches to see if there's something I don't have. I like acquiring things. I'm passionate about that. You know my passion for amusement parks. Yes. And that's a stupid thing to be passionate about. Especially, King's Dominion. I love it. It's not a Disney property by a long shot, but that's my theme park. And yes, I am passionate about it. And yes, I could do a podcast about it and argue about it. And I think I should.
Because I think Josh kind of nailed what I was trying to get at here. Mm-hmm. Something that would get you really, really
riled up.
Ramped up.
Yeah.
But, deconstructing a comedy is not going to get, it's kind of internal.
I'd have to find another nerd to argue
about. I want to find someone who loves Hershey Park and put the two of you on a podcast together with which park is better.
I think
you have passion when you want to... get into it with somebody.
I mean, think that I was brought up in an environment where passionate discourse was not always the way to go. We didn't argue. We weren't a communicative family. We didn't yell at each other. We were quiet and polite. And that's probably why my folks divorced, because they were not, right.
You don't argue, you leave.
You leave. So I am not a guy that likes to, conflict.
Again.
Yes, this is Rush.
All right. That's not the one I want.
Was that Connie Francis?
Jesus Christ.
Who was that?
I should never touch a computer.
What have you been working on over there?
All right. I have a song from the movie Election, with Matthew Broderick and Reese Witherspoon. That is one of my favorite songs to close a movie called You'll Be My Teacher or Be My Teacher.
Okay.
And this is the same thing I went through when I wanted to just find it to put so I could listen to it all the time.
Right.
And it's an obscure, I think maybe a re-recorded version of it. And it's just very, very good.
Why would you not reach out to me if you wanted a song?
Because of the Christmas debacle.
Well, what Christmas
when you
debacle?
Sent me the Christmas music and it messed up my cloud and everything I had because of the everything. Josh, you should be aware of this. All of Rob's music is stolen.
No, all of it. You know,
it is stolen. And
it depends on your definition. Copying it off of his LPs.
Yeah, and my CDs
for
Mike,
personal use is fine. Once he sends it to you.
It's then it's sharing. Yeah. But
stolen
it's,
valor.
But
no, that's
thousands of records.
All right, fine,
that...
Be My Teacher from the movie Election.
It says it's this. Is this what you were just playing?
That's what I was just playing. That's not it.
Okay. Right. And you don't know the artist or the style?
Nope.
Okay.
It's kind of a swing
thing.
It
is by, it says it's by Joey Aldruda. Aldruda.
What is
who?
Joey Aldruda.
Aldruda?
Aldruda.
Atruda.
How you spell it?
By the way, there might be a few songs that are Be My Teacher that are not related to this particular song. But it's a similar song. The song itself that we just played is the song. It's a different version of that song.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. All right. I've got the full movie here, but not just the song. Give me a second.
It's hard. Yeah. This is what I went through before when I was trying to do.
It's performed by Mandy Barnett.
Mandy Barnett.
Okay.
Mandy Barnett.
Absolutely. Is it Mandy Barnett? Is that what it is? Okay. Very good.
Oh, she also does, she sings a lot of covers. She did Crazy by Patsy Cline, apparently.
Yes, she's great. Mandy Barnett. That's the version.
Okay.
I'm dying to hear it right now. And we can play because it's the bonus show, right? We'll get away with it.
We'll figure a way around it.
Yeah, we've been fucked so many times by these.
We've only had one bonus show where I had to go somewhere else.
I don't think this is a big enough song to matter. I don't. I really don't.
Oh, man. But Mike, I will find it. It's just I can't find it right now. This it sucks.
It is not on YouTube.
It is hard to find.
Wow.
It is very, very hard. Very hard to find. That's why. That's why it took me a long time to actually find it. I'm going to look myself. We're going to get it. This is, I apologize to everybody. This is supposed to be entertaining.
We've got
to
find it. We've got to find this. It's with no payoff. It's sad, right?
Yeah, well, we've only got a certain limit to search for things. So I'm not surprised that you're not able to find that because I had the same exact problem.
I shall find it.
Well, that doesn't do me any good. Right? That's like going into a store and saying, I need these tennis shoes. And they're saying, well, you can find them online. If we can't find it now, we're not going to be able to do it ever. It'll be gone forever.
This is not true. All you have to do is stream the movie and pull it from the movie. That's it's just something I can't do right now.
You've got it.
Just downloading. Yeah, I'll have it in one moment.
All right. Great. So you asked me about music. This is what the whole purpose, and then I got off on a thing where I was trying to find it. You ask about music. The music that I listen to, and this might sound weird.
Right.
The music that I listen to is up here. It's in my head. I have earworms constantly. And the one that I've had for the last 24 hours is You'll Be My Teacher from the movie Election because I just have it up there.
How do you defeat an earworm? Because I mean, although it's a great song, it's still annoying. And
this is the version. Okay. That's it. Yeah. Can you turn it up a little bit, Josh? Can we get any more volume on that?
I cannot.
Okay. And that's the credits from Election, right there.
She sounds like Patsy Cline.
You know what?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Mandy Barnett.
This way and turn up the volume, I believe.
That's it. Okay, so that's how I just want to say. But I have earworms constantly, but I don't. If I've got the radio on, I'm listening to people talking, either a talk show or a news program. That's what I'm listening to.
That surprises me. I get enough of that. You know,
I go
it's
on
what we
kicks.
Do.
I go on kicks where there's money. But as far as the passion, it's passion of music, but it's nothing really that gets you ramped up. Right?
I can't think of a time that I've been really, really ramped up.
Like,
I don't know if that's a flaw.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I
tend to go with the flow.
Maybe
I've been beaten down for 30 years.
What about the kids? Is there anything Robert does that really upsets you?
I wish he would stop with his nicotine pen, but you know what? He could do worse.
He's vaping? So,
but yeah, he vapes occasionally.
Tell him not to vape.
Wishing he would stop is different. It's different than like being passionate to yell at him or argue with him about it.
I haven't yelled at him in forever. And Julia has always been a perfect child. And she'll tell you if you ask her. So it doesn't doesn't bother me.
When you say beaten down, was that a reference to like the radio shows?
I think there's some of it there. Yeah. And also
you're
in my family.
Me?
Mike, not you.
Okay. All right.
But let's say you worked for a job.
Because you didn't say 20 years. You said 30.
Well, I just meant when I got started in the business.
I can accept it if you want to tell me now. If you want to confess.
I don't think
I really beat you down anymore.
No, but if you go through
anymore, do you notice that, Josh, anymore?
If you have a 16, 17-year run with a program and one of the lead hosts has taken 17 years to point out how you always and continually fuck stuff up, it starts to sink in a little bit. Mm-hmm. It makes you a little less likely to defend yourself because you start thinking, maybe I am a fuck up. Maybe that is my fault. Even though when I look back, I realize it usually wasn't my fault. But I certainly was told that it was. Mm-hmm. And I think one
You're talking about Don?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He would lay impossible things in my lap. And he'd want them done in 6 hours. One time he called me in the morning and he said he wanted to schedule an appearance. And the policy was you have to go through a salesperson to do that. And by 3 o'clock, he says, why hasn't it happened yet? And I said, because the salespeople aren't calling me back. I can't do it. I put out every call, every email I could, but all of a sudden it became my fault. And then I accepted it as my fault. And it really wasn't. So it was tough. And I was the youngest kid forever in my family. And then,
I can kind of relate to that because my cousins and everybody else. I mean, I don't hang up there.
You get they don't even mean it in a bad way, but you get diminished when you're the youngest. And they don't put a lot of trust in you. I still feel it when I get with the family. I'm 54 years old, and I still feel sometimes like I should be at the kids' table.
How does that manifest itself, just out of curiosity, when you're with your family that? How would that manifest itself? Because there have to be examples. I've got some that I could use, but I'd rather hear yours.
My family is the best, but they will continually diminish my work, that this is not like a real job. And
how does that happen?
They'll say like, are you still doing that computer thing? And
I had that a few weeks ago.
And I said, I've been doing the computer thing now for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And it's a little more than a thing. It's a podcast with international following, but you get tired of it. You get tired of defending it because it's what you do. And you start to think, and this is a really evil, dark thought, is that I've considered the fact, what if the thing I'm best at, I'm not very good at? That's a sad notion. If you take your best talent and it's not all that great, then you really don't have a lot to offer. And that's depressing to me. So I do the best I can on the show. I love our show.
Do you feel that way sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. And not as much anymore, but definitely when I was producing. I mean, I was fired from the producing job 3 times. I really shouldn't have had that job.
Let me tell you why you shouldn't have had that job.
Mm-hmm.
I really do believe that the absolute top echelon of producers, and when I say producers, by the way, mm-hmm. that term refers to people that finance movies. That term is mm-hmm. people that put on Broadway shows and finance. The producer, when it comes to a television program
mm-hmm.
or a radio program, that is the person that is the chief person behind the scenes to put that together.
Exactly.
And in order to excel in that position, you have to be a fearless prick.
Yep, that's
right. And it will not work any other way. Mm-hmm. And Gary Delabate was probably as fearless a prick as you could possibly get. And mm-hmm. it's take no prisoners. And it is all the time. And that it was unfair probably to put you in that situation because you were not even close to being in that area.
In that era, I was still sort of I was younger, I was hungry, ready to advance, and it seemed like a great opportunity to go for.
It bad. Your ambition was as significant as anybody that ever came in the area with our show. The ambition level was there, which is important. You know,
but it
you
was worked ill-fitting.
Two hyper-competitive individuals that were not only hyper-competitive but impatient. And that mixture and you, that was oil and water.
You're
it
right.
did not it did not work.
You're absolutely right.
But now, the reason you lingered, I think, to a certain degree, is it's hard to I think you have to have when you've got a real old fashioned bully, and by the way, I have bullied Rob over the years myself. So I'm not being a hypocrite. I admit to
behavior.
Let me finish.
Okay.
When you've got a real bully, somebody that only exists by doing that, you were a punching bag for a long time.
Sure.
You know, and that's gotta take its toll.
Well,
you know?
As a young married guy, when I was producing the show, thinking about our future, thinking about our kids, I wanted that bigger paycheck. I wanted to
golden handcuffs is what that's usually referred to as.
Trust me, it might have been gold plated because it wasn't that much.
No,
but it was an advance, and I thought it could work. And ultimately, when I landed as in-studio producer and not the executive producer, I think that's when I was at my best for that program. Because I could, at that point, I wasn't hitting the buttons, but I could provide music beds, I could grab tapes, I could write stuff for you, I could write stuff for Don, I could comment on the show, on the third mic if I wanted to. I also am proud of the fact that I sort of engineered a role as a guy off mic. I loved that. When I could just yell something from the background and it would sometimes be recognized and sometimes it wasn't. But that was my happiest part there. But outside of that, I really do think I was beat up and quite often. And when it keeps coming, sometimes it just sinks in. And that's sad. But that's,
have you ever clued in? Has he ever talked to you about that kind of stuff, Josh? Because I mean, it's it is kind of what I hate to pile. I hate to lump myself in with that, but Rob witnessed it, so he knows it's true that I was on the receiving. Everybody was on the receiving end of that.
And as far as me being received, you were never the primary candidate. There was some, but also, if you weren't as genuine and appreciative of me as you are, I wouldn't still be doing this. You know, we've like anybody, we've had a past.
Well,
and you were well established as a radio guy when I entered the business. And now that I get to work with you, it's a little different, I think.
Do you think, because there are multiple times since we've been doing this incarnation of the show, as recently as a couple of days ago, where I will reach out and just reference something that you did that made me laugh, where I'll say the video you did, which was so great that I watched so many times. Do you think there was a hesitancy to share that with you from Don because it would appear to be some sign of weakness?
I don't know. I always, and don't take this in the wrong way, I don't respond well to compliments from you. I appreciate them, but I don't know always how to handle them. And when you sent me that, you were saying that you loved the Humpty Dance video. And I was like, well, that's really cool that he likes it, but I don't know what to say to that. I mean, I said, thank you. It's a good song. That's what helped it. But it's weird. It's just, I know I jokingly say we're all broken, but I do have some broken things about me and I don't like it. I think it's one of the reasons why I drank as much as I did for so long to sort of get away from it. But I'm not terribly unhappy person as a rule. And I love so much what we do here. And I love the fact that you've allowed me to expand my role and be more me. I'm more me now than I've ever been on the show or any show. And I think that probably drives you a little crazy, but I love it. I love not having to pretend. I mean, I tried to find a platform for myself, and what did I become? A wife-beating Nazi lover. It worked on the show, but it's not me. You know, that was sort of the characterization that was thrust upon me. And as I saw it as a way to advance my participation in the show,
you know, it's interesting.
I grabbed on.
As someone who worked across from Don for that long, I would think, I think that perception, I don't want to say perception becomes reality, but I think when that persona was created for you, you know, not only did listeners maybe think about that, but the people that worked with you thought about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I kind of like bought into it when it was created for you.
Yeah. I'm also not I'm not a misogynist. All the things that were created, and I embraced them because I thought it was my way to be part of the fabric of the show.
Yeah.
And everyone does. I mean, when I started and I was doing the really, really ridiculous stuff, bra, wig, bra and a wig on the Memorial Bridge, stuff like that.
That's the stuff I want to do another bonus show about some of your ridiculous things you had to do as an intern.
Now that,
and
of
the torture.
Yeah, the intern, I didn't get tortured much once I was employed, but as I was an intern, but I can tell you a lot.
He tortured other interns, though.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yes.
He, after he had been tortured, well, that's where you like that.
Maybe we reach out to a few of those.
I don't think, Mike, I like it. I think it's just a balm. It's a soothing balm to abuse others.
You both have talked about on here about having nightmares from working with Don. Did Don ever compliment you guys? Like, that was a great bit. Did a Celebrity Jeopardy end and... go to commercial and you're told, hey, that worked out well?
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Good. I mean,
sort of, Mike, for you, it always, for me, was flavored with, that was really great. You did exactly what I wanted. Am I right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Look, it is what it is. Everybody, not everybody, many people in their workplaces deal with that. It's not anything. And for my purposes, you know, I was the only one who would really butt heads. And
yeah, Rob, it wasn't my place. I couldn't.
Rob knew that it was a pretty scary day when we would really butt heads.
Everybody at the station, we had 45 people working at WJFK, and over even in the sales pit, they'd say, "Mom and Dad are fighting."
Yeah,
and there were doors slammed. There was yelling. It was not good.
It was not.
And as someone who avoids confrontation, I hated that.
Brian and O'Brien, another team up in Baltimore, did the same thing. A lot of radio partnerships
that.
A lot of showbiz partnerships
Outside of showbiz, that happens in regular jobs as well.
It does. Absolutely. Yeah,
especially
does.
When you have a successful company where guys are button heads, but you know you need both of you for this company to
100%.
Be successful.
That's the way it went down.
And when you go back to the intern abuse, just to put a button on it, every time that something like that came up, I was like... Okay, but I always did give it my all to
what
be
do you
a
mean?
Part
Explain
of the show.
Explain that a little more detail.
Okay, like
about?
I say, like today we're dressing you up and sending you to X, or you're going to get an Uncle Sam outfit and go to the polling places. It was always sort of like, okay, this is what we're doing today. It wasn't very exciting, but I did give my best and tried to be enthusiastic and as funny as possible in the situation. But know that even though I loved being a part of the show, I hated that. I wanted to be, you know, trusted on my own intellect, my own sense of humor.
I know what question I would have.
What's that?
On the social front.
Yeah.
Which you filled that void for me.
Uh-huh.
Beautifully. I hate to say that, but I mean, when I was done with my work people, Josh, I would be done with my work people. I'm the same way here. Right. When we all get together, you come down here, do some work in the studio. Mm-hmm. Rob comes down here and does some work. We get along beautifully. We have we have a perfectly good time. We go out, we do that.
Yeah.
My question is, socially, did you feel any sense of anxiety or angst when you would be going on a trip or going on a weekend? You did?
It started when I started as an intern, and one of my first days there was a ratings party. I don't think it's because I started on the station that the ratings were good, but they were very, very good. And they invited me to go to Carlos O'Kelly's or wherever we went to have drinks with the show. That's when I started to feel lucky to be included. And when I was lucky to be included, I wanted to sort of pull my weight and be, for lack of a better word, the life of the party, and tried to be that guy, which developed into a fact that if we ever went out, I felt sort of... obliged to do that. I fell into that role too. And I mean, it's not like I ever
meant more like traveling with Don.
Traveling? No, not so much traveling, because I didn't travel alongside him that much. But if we went out and did like a dinner or something like
that. Yeah, like you and him and the wives.
Yeah. It was that was a weirdish sort of situation, because Carrie and Frida were excellent, excellent friends. And at the time, Don and I were very good friends.
Yeah, and it came across on the radio as you guys were really good friends.
And we were. But I still felt like when I was invited to do something, it was...
You couldn't say no.
I couldn't say no, and I felt kind of like I'm being brought along for laughs. And that's okay. That's what I do. But that's how I felt.
Okay.
There's an obligation.
I was curious.
There.
Yeah, I figured as much. That's that confirms that.
Rob, as far as your family question, your job.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law a month ago just said, "So do you have a job yet?"
She seems nice.
So, yeah.
But
so
yeah.
It's always going to happen.
I come from a family literally of teachers, government workers, people that have started successful businesses, and I can see where they don't see what I do as a real job. But at least be polite about it. I haven't lost the house yet. You know, it's real enough that I still own a home. So there's that.
That's one way of lowering that bar. That's
but
fantastic.
I will say that, you know,
there are always mini houses too, Rob. I see a lot of those online, as well as the AI women.
I'm going to lean into a nice, clean dumpster. I think when you are diminished or underestimated, sometimes it makes you push a little harder. At the time, and I think I did. But it also, you can't be belittled for 30-some years and not feel some effect from it.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. All right. Well, I think that
And you have a great day, everybody.
Little psychotherapy. We do it once in a while. It's for us as well as for you. I hope the real fans that go way, way back got something out of that. I think that's interesting. As far as the and at the very least, there's some pervs out there that probably figured out how to get an AI girlfriend.
Yeah. You know, if it was back then, you probably would have hired an AI producer.
That's interesting.
Long blonde hair.
Thank you, gents. That was great. Josh, next week on the bonus show, I think we do a deep dive into your world. And we'll explore your personality. Everybody hears me flapping my gums all the time. Sometimes this is fun for me as well. So I hope people got something out of that. We will return on Monday with a brand new show. Be safe this weekend, everybody. Safe home to our friend Frank Caprio. Judge Caprio, what a wonderful human being. And have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday for Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye, folk.
Hello, it's Mike. If you're hearing me now, you are a TMOS bonus show subscriber. And if you are a bonus show subscriber, I just want to say thank you. You are a vital part of our show, and your support makes TMOS possible. We love you. Now don't get happy.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
What the hell's going on here?
Just thought that we're almost finished. Good golly, Miss Molly.
I fined him for $3, but I'll catch him and kill him for $10.
It'll be okay.